2007, we had a japa retreat, and I came from Australia to attend the retreat. And as fate would have it, 2 or 3 days before the retreat, I slipped on some water on a tile floor and fell to the ground and broke my knee. So I ended up in Delhi at a hospital, and they put a big blue cast on my leg, and I came out to here to Barshana by a Vrindavan ambulance. And if you've ever seen such a thing, it's most extraordinary. It's a van without any springs or anything attached, and you're straight on the bottom of the van on some sort of a stretcher. So I came out and spent the japa retreat in bed, feeling sorry for myself. So was that unfortunate?
Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate. For all concerned. However, as a result of that, I was obliged to stay in Vrindavan for some months longer. Was that unfortunate?
No.
Very fortunate. However, unfortunately or fortunately, I had to spend that time always in bed, just lying in the same bed 24 hours a day with very little to do. And, of course, apart from my leg in a cast, the rest of me was perfectly healthy and anxious to get on and doing something. So that part, yeah, felt very unfortunate. But by Krishna's arrangement, by Gopinath's arrangement, on my way to here to India, I had bought a desktop computer, which I've never used before personally, for the purpose of doing some seva for Gopinath Dham. And so I found myself lying in bed with a desktop computer and laptop computer, I beg your pardon. See how uncomputer-wise I am. Nothing much to do. And our Mahabhagavat Prabhu gave me some files of photos of Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar, because I couldn't see them personally from there. And so as a result, I made this short slideshow, which I thought I'd first of all share with you. And then after that, I'd like to read you a couple of really sweet pastimes so that we have something in the heart to meditate upon tomorrow. and also show you another slideshow that was made at the same time. This one is called Radhe Shyam. They're so beautiful. So there you have an opportunity to see the beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna. The deity worship is especially meant to give us that opportunity, because by seeing Krishna's beauty every day, or for those who perform the deity worship, by touching the Lord and dressing Him and serving Him in this way, one becomes transformed into an understanding that actually Krishna's transcendental beauty is more attractive than the things that are attracting us at present within the world around us. But then, after that, we also can hear about his pastimes, which we've been doing so much of since we've been here. And I found a couple of sweet little pastimes to share with you. This one particularly takes place in Nandagram. And Tirukkadamba is actually within Nandagram, the district of Nandagram. And on Gopastami, all the people, all the family, the pandits from the Nandagram temple come to Tirukkadamba, and they have a big ceremony there for Krishna's worshipping of the cows. So this is just a little description by Kavi Kanpur of Krishna milking the cows. The white hue of the pure-minded cows sitting along the roadside, which looked as white as powdered camphor, easily surpassed the glow of the full moon to create a satisfying sight for all. The beautiful white bodies of the cows could only be distinguished from the lustrous setting by their thick horns that appeared blacker than a swarm of bumblebees. Sitting there peacefully, the cows felt boundless joy. Desirous to milk the cows, the gopis met with Krishna, who tastefully performs all artistic feats and derives pleasure from all that he does, moving his lotus eyes in all directions. Krishna milked the cows with great fun and affection. The news that Krishna was milking the cows entered the ears of the gopis like a lusty elephant trampling the lotus flowers of their minds. Their minds captivated by Madan Mohan, the gopis ignored their relatives and courageously climbed up to the top, the moon tower, as it's called, on the very top of the house, from which you can be touched by the rays of the moon. So they climbed up the moon tower to see their beloved. One gopi enthusiastically clutched another's hands and pulled her up the stairs. And as the doe-eyed gopis gazed in the direction of Krishna and the cows, the sky filled with the blue lotus flowers of their ardent, loving glances. They bathed their minds in the river of nectar flowing from the moonlight face of Krishna. Like independent yoginis, the curious eyes of the gopis blissfully roamed in all directions as they stood on the rooftops watching Krishna milking the cows. Nothing could prevent their eyes from staring at Krishna. Their eyes tried to milk the nectar. Their eyes tried to milk the nectar from the gorgeous face of their beloved. The Brahma himself cannot describe this pastime of Krishna milking the cows. And a sparrow can never reach the stars. Still, this insignificant poet cannot resist the temptation to delight in the transcendental pastime of Krishna. Therefore, he has tried to glorify them by using the choicest words. Krishna's turban looked very attractive as it tilted slightly from rubbing against the belly of the cows. Squatting down and holding the golden milk pail between his knees, Krishna looked very enchanting in his glimmering yellow dhoti. While milking the cows, his back arched beautifully and his elbows jutted out to the sides as he squeezed and released the udders to get all of the milk out with his delicate fingers. First, Krishna moistened his thumb and his forefinger with milk foam, and then he deftly pulled showers of milk from one udder after another. The touch of Krishna's lotus hand felt dearer to the cows than their own calves. Out of affection for the Lord, the cows freely poured streams of milk, and that forceful pouring of milk made a pleasant sound as it filled the deep milking pot. It spilled out onto the ground before a new pot could be brought. As the gopis stood in the watchtowers, glancing restlessly at Krishna, the gopis succumbed to both anxiety and ecstasy. Now that Krishna had sat down in the minds of those desirous gopis, their minds became so heavy that even 1,000 chariots could not move them slightly from their beloved. Though shaking in fear from their superiors, the gopis were totally enchanted by the sweet festival of Krishna's beautiful darshan. The mood of awe and reverence could not stand before their spontaneous love for Krishna. Even if the gopis seem hypocritical, they are still completely infallible and beyond any mistake. Those gorgeous girls looked like golden creepers fashioned by an expert goldsmith. Feeling compassion for the maidservants standing beside them in the chandrashalikas, they shared the joy rising within their hearts by conversing amongst themselves. Hey, Saki, listen. The creation of my eyes has attained perfection by the soothing sight of Shyamasunda. I am relishing the palatable elegance of my Lord, whose ever youthful dark blue body glows like a fresh rain cloud. My eyes, my body is tormented with fever due to opposition from the village elders, but still I want to make my body fit to be controlled by Krishna, who expertly displays the highest perfection of different arts. Just see, even in this condition, my intelligence works nicely. Hey, listen, O playful creepers. In the absence of the bees, the clusters of lotuses lose their joy and luster. Therefore, O best of beautiful girls, we must now exhibit the strength of our mantra chanting by attracting Krishna into our courtyards. Another Sakhi said, how can we do that? The first gopi replied, "Listen, I will tell you. In our house, even the strongest girl cannot possibly milk the cows. Even a fearless person, for a fearless person, it would be very difficult to control the cows because they're very strong and frisky. But due to our reluctance to milk the cows, we are now deriving no wealth from their milk products. Therefore, the minds of our superiors, like our mother-in-laws and father-in-laws, are burning with grief like the blazing sun." The second Sakhi said, "So what does that matter to you? Just ask your superiors who aren't milking, why aren't they milking the cows and deriving the milk products from them?" The first Sakhi said, "Yes, we should advise them to lovingly call out to Krishna. And when the cows see him, they will automatically surrender their milk. But then our elders will ask, who is he? And where does he live?" The second Sakhi said, "You should answer them by describing the wonderful milking activities of Krishna that you have just seen." "Oh, Sakhi, then I am sure that your superiors will immediately respond to your entreaty. Because the wise and the intelligent always respond to a good idea. Krishna alone has the power to break all psychic inhibitions and fill the mind with unprecedented delight. He always affectionately cares for everyone. By his ecstatic pastimes, he provides soothing shelter for a tormented mind. Although Krishna is the supremely independent master of all intelligence, at the present time, he submits to the authority and protection of his affectionate parents. Due to his love for all of us, I am convinced that as soon as our superiors inform him of our dilemma, Krishna will respond by rushing here to milk our unruly cows." Thus the gopis passed their times discussing these delightful topics. Garlanded with wild flowers and surrounded by humming bees, Krishna then walked back to the house after milking the cows. Unlimited qualities decorated Krishna at this time. The necklace adorning his broad chest swung back and forth like a shooting star. The ocean of joy within Krishna flowed out of his lotus eyes to flood the lakes of the gopis' hearts. Krishna's unlimited attributes appeared like sharks to devour the tender hearts of the gopis. With the carefree movement of a royal elephant, Krishna rocked from side to side as he walked down the road. Immersed in loving rapture, the gopis stared with unblinking eyes at his sweet lotus feet as he passed by. Krishna's presence inflamed their senses with excitement and satisfaction. But when Krishna left their sight, their eyes stopped functioning for want of anything worth looking at. Within their minds, however, the gopis found paramount pleasure by lying down with Krishna on the flower bed of surrender. When Krishna takes the cows to the pastures in the daytime, his lovers almost die from the severe pain of separation piercing the core of their hearts. It appears that a virulent poison has spread through their bodies, and this intolerable burning pain of separation, however, is extinguished by the two nectar showers of seeing Krishna returning in the cool summer evening and relishing his matchless beauty at that refreshing time. Thus the Lord of unlimited power joyfully passed every day in the summer tending the cows in the forest. Surrendered souls can easily perceive the delightful form of the Lord. By his personal presence, Krishna sweetened the whole world and attracted everyone to his spectacular transcendental pastimes. Now, can we have to heat up. I would like to show you another short slideshow. You'll have to watch very closely because this one is very beautiful. This is Krishna, some of his very beautiful pastimes, but it's very short. So you'll have to put your eyes, both eyes and a mind, right there. Now this is a very playful pastime wherein Batu, does anyone know Batu? Who Batu is? Madhu Mangal. Batu decides that he's going to do a little bit of mischief and a special favor to some of the young gopis of Vrindavan. As the rising sun beautified the blue sky with a brilliant light, Krishna got up and dressed gorgeously like a dramatic actor. Then taking his cows and friends, he entered the forest of Vrindavan. Every day Nanda Nandan, who satisfies the desires of all surrendered souls, roamed and played in the forest in order to remove the distress and separation felt by the forest deer, birds, and creepers. When Krishna had gone to the forest, Batu decided to wander alone in the village. He had a plan to open a treasure box of good fortune for the residents of Vrindavan. Batu looked somewhat funny with his thick neck and his slightly bent over body as he sauntered down the road. Upon seeing Batu, the aristocratic mothers-in-law of the gopis suddenly approached him and welcomed him with great affection. And in a submissive tone, they said, "O wise one, of keen intelligence, have you studied the Vedas that ornament every man of knowledge?" Batu said, "I am a powerful astrologer, fully versed in the Agamas. What is the use of studying other scriptures which are not very palatable to the intelligence?" The elderly gopi said, "Oh, best person in the world, please tell me what profound truth you have discovered from your studies." Batu jokingly replied, "Oh, best ladies of Vrindavan, the Jyoti Shastra, or astrology, shines with great power and influence. By studying astrology, one can know the good and the bad events of the past and also predict the auspicious and inauspicious things that will happen now and in the future. By worshipping the demigods described in the Agama Shastra, one obtains the power to cause or prevent things from happening. Such astrologers, such as Batu, can make the impossible become possible and turn the possible into the impossible. The elderly gopis reply, "Bravo, Batu, bravo! Well done, all glories to you." This is the time to just ask you a suitable few questions. And as dakshin for your service, we will offer you many nice, tasty laddus. We have a very confidential question that we cannot ask inside our homes. So please dispel our doubt. Is there any person on earth or in heaven who will not use his knowledge to benefit others? Smiling, Batu said, "If you will give me many, many cows full of milk with full milk bags, then I will bestow my mercy on you. I am a wise Brahmana, and by consulting the planetary transits, I can tell you exactly what is auspicious and inauspicious. Hidden within me is the power of omniscience." In a jubilant mood, the gopis replied, the elderly lady said, "The wealth of cows is like dust particles for us. If you can answer this one question, we can give you whatever you want in the world." Batu said, "Wealth doesn't interest me. But in order to spread my fame, I am requesting this. So now you can ask me your question." The elderly gopis looked around, that no one was listening, a very private question. And they said, "We are chaste housewives in Vrindavan, so we are not feeling the slightest bit of misery. But we have one unsolvable problem. Although our daughters-in-law are as beautiful as lotus flowers, they are not the least bit happy. From the day of their marriages, they have been deaf to the names of their husbands, what to speak of looking at them. Where in the world can one find such ladies that find absolutely no joy in being with their husbands? Even to this day, they are proud and they show aversion to their husbands. This problem has made us completely miserable. We want to resolve it. So if you can solve this problem, your fame will be spread all over the world." Understanding the minds of the elderly gopis, Batu became silent. He pretended to be deeply absorbed in meditating on Saraswati in order to solve the gopis' dilemma. First, Batu acted like a big acharya by spending a long time in silent contemplation before responding. Then, smiling slightly and behaving comically like some big orator, he jokingly said, "Oh, auspicious ladies, although I am Krishna's friend, my happiness will be ruined if he finds out that I am helping his antagonists. Therefore, whatever I say, you must keep it secret and not tell anyone. Now, bring me some fruit, and then I will explain why your daughters-in-law are adverse to their husbands. When Batu, whose inexhaustible grace and beauty are rarely seen, received his fruits, then he thought very deeply for a moment. And then he spoke. He said, "O cultured ladies, there are two kinds of defects here. One material and the other spiritual. Your daughters-in-law are adverse because their husbands are full of material defects, such as bad behavior and ugliness. Everyone knows about this. So what is the use of applying the wisdom of astrology to solve this problem?" Now listen attentively, and I will now explain to you the transcendental factor. You see, here in Vrindavan, there is one yogini who is against you. Her lotus feet are worshipped by the best of yogis, and by her incredible power, she can bring almost anyone under her control. She can even split the sun in half. That playful yogini, known as Yogamaya, by her illusory potency, has made it to look like your sons are married to particular gopis. Yogamaya then propagated the fact amongst the ignorant to make them think that it was a real marriage. She also created the bad qualities in your sons and the antagonistic mood found in your daughters-in-law. Actually, your daughters and their husbands are not fit to live together. Therefore, Yogamaya has personally prohibited your sons from even touching their wives. Using her tremendous power, Yogamaya will soon make your daughters-in-law give up any sense of being married to your sons. But if you are very affectionate towards your daughter-in-laws, then that yogini will become favorable to you and help you. Moreover, if you want your sons to become fortunate, then you should make sure that they do not even touch their wives. Your sons are very unhappy when they hear that Krishna attracts their wives and forcibly embraces them with his long arms. But soon your sons will become happy and prosperous when their wives glance favorably upon them like the goddess of fortune. Now, these elderly ladies weren't happy to hear this news. They were quite disturbed, in fact, by all this information. But Batu is a great astrologer, and he knows how to make the possible impossible and the impossible possible. So he's going to explain to them a way that they can avert all these terrible things from happening. Although overwhelmed by Batu's words and feeling enormous distress, the elderly gopis hoped that something auspicious would happen soon. In that mood, the gopis said, "Oh, Batu, you are the embodiment of truth. Surely your words are not the statements of a mere child, but rather the wisdom of an omniscient Brahmana. Indeed, you are a competent astrologer. Now please show us the power you have obtained by mastering the Agamas and teach us how to carefully worship the appropriate demigods so that they and we can prevent that yogini from harassing our sons. Mother Mangal said, "You can appease this angry yogini by worshipping another demigod who is supremely beautiful, pure, imperishable, and infallible." Gaining some relief from Vatu's words, the elderly gopis expressed their appreciation by giving him a beautiful necklace. Then the gopi said, "Batu, you are like a mine of the best jewel-like qualities. Now tell us, who is that demigod? What is his nickname? And tell us also all the details about worshipping him." Batu replied, "O fortunate ones, you are very effulgent and your speech sounds like lovely singing. Now, there is a demigod. His name is Kandarpa. And he lives in the groves of Vrindavan. And he is the Kunja Devata." So Kandarpa, of course, is another name for Cupid. And he is the Kunja Devata, or the demigod who rules over the Kunjas. He is the personified lord of the love groves, and his body is the color of a rain cloud. He is ever youthful and transcendental. That yogini Yogamaya, who enchants all the demigods, always remains submissive to that youthful personality known as Kandarpa. By his sweet will, Kandarpa satisfies the cherished desires of the gopis whose eyes are beautified with kajal. If you can please that demigod, then you will always be happy. But if you anger him, then not even Mahadev can protect you. That demigod delights in wandering from forest to forest, and although nobody can see him, those who worship him with unalloyed devotion can see him in their meditation. The method of his worship is very difficult, and it must be performed at exactly the right time. And only those who perform meritorious works can worship him. So listen carefully, and I will explain to you his worship. But first, you must adorn yourself with very costly jewels and smear your body with attractive ointments before worshipping Kandarpa. Then, rejecting the opinions of others, those who are worshipping Kandarpa must give up their shyness and go to Vrindavan and pick flowers. They must abandon all other talks and constantly fix their minds only on him. Such a person must be free from all cheating mentality. Then you can worship him according to all the rules and regulations. You should go from one grove to another grove and worship that youthful Kandarpa three times a day. Three times a day. With incense, lamps, flowers, and other ornaments. After the worship is finished, he will lay down on a bed of leaves and remain awake the whole night with his friends. So Batu is explaining a very elaborate process of worship to the elderly ladies, and they're listening very carefully because they're very worried about the impending doom that is about to come to their families when their daughters-in-law give up all sense of being married to their sons. So he listened, he explains everything, and they listen very, very carefully. And he even tells them what mantras to chant. And then he tells them, you give all this information to your daughters-in-law. So he tells them the mantras, and the mantra is, I offer myself to the great inconceivable Lord of the Love Groves, who forever relishes sweet mellows. And of course this mantra is given in Sanskrit, and the elderly ladies don't understand the double meaning of everything that Bhattu is doing. He's making an arrangement, because remember, all of their daughter-in-laws are being watched meticulously to make sure that they're taking care of everything at home. So he tells them, this concludes the method of worship, and if you do this, you will also receive my favor. After successfully deceiving the old ladies with these secret teachings, which were laced with many funny hidden meanings, that brahmachari Bhattu quickly left them. The elderly gopis affectionately accepted his words. He's such an expert talker. And they returned to their homes, and without any envy, they instructed their daughters-in-law, who beamed like the attractive flames of a ghee lamp in the worship of the Kunja Devata. The elderly gopis said to their daughters-in-law, you come from high-class family, and indeed you are famous for your kindness and refined qualities, which crush the pride of celestial women. But we have also seen defects in you that are not found even amongst the women on earth. And one of your main faults is your aversion to your husbands. We do not even want to see our enemies having this fault. Therefore, we will tell you a rut that we have learnt from the Brahmin Madhu Mangal. By happily observing this vrat, you can very quickly remove all obstacles to your good fortune, make your husbands happy, increase your devotion to him, and please your superiors. You must take a vow to wander through the kunjas of Vrindavan, constantly worshipping the Kunja Devata, Kandarpa, the demigod who fulfills the desires of everyone. When the gopis heard this from their mothers-in-law, they were absolutely astonished. What are they telling us to do? Do they understand what they're telling us to do? Are they testing us? Not believing their ears, their daughters-in-law adopted a mood of astonishment and displeasure with this suggestion. They thought, what are they saying? Maybe they have discovered our secret love. Their minds confused, they sat down. Before making a response, they wanted to hear their mothers-in-law disclose everything from the beginning till the end. While the daughters-in-law sat silently, the elderly gopis, in order to hide their defects from the people in general, secretly and privately instructed their daughter-in-laws in the vows and methods of worshipping Kandarpa. The young gopis thought, our mothers are giving us joy and satisfaction by pouring this rasayan into our ears. Kusumasava, or Bhattu, has certainly created a festival for us. So then the young gopis were free. They were sent out by their mothers-in-law and ordered to go from forest to forest to forest, picking flowers, visiting the kunjas, staying a long time, worshipping Kandarpa 3 times a day, and off they would go, and they could hardly believe their good fortune when they realized that their mothers-in-law were actually instructing them to go and meet with Krishna in this way. So this is just a small pastime from the ocean of pastimes that take place within Sri Vrindavan Dham, wherein everyone is somehow or another facilitating Krishna's pleasure, whether it be by obstructing him, obstructing his young gopi beloveds, or in having defects, or in Batu going from place to place and tricking all the elderly ladies into releasing their daughters-in-law from the prison of their households. So, thank you for your patient hearing.